Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt. I'm your host. And my name is your name, too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. Thank you all for tuning in here at the Voice of the American Redoubt, where we are here to shed the light of truth on the lies and to inform, encourage, inspire, and motivate you to action in the fight to preserve liberty and our heritage. And I'm going to talk about on the front end of this show, self-reliance, resiliency. We must be a resilient people. And we have an opportunity to test that resilience right now as Texas is getting pummeled from apparently a Category 3 hurricane. So Hurricane Harvey, we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about something I didn't get to finish up on last week. And that is the sojourner, the foreigner in our land, and some of the scriptures that are being used to get us to accept this Islamic invasion. And I'm going to shed some light of truth on that and put scripture in its proper context, because it doesn't seem like very many people are doing that. Now, pastors, I know there's a lot of pastors in the audience. Get ready to take notes. But first, I want to talk about this last week, the eclipse. For those of you who are in the path, I happen to be in southern Idaho for that. And last week, we talked about the prelude or a sneak peek into what a collapse might look like. Actually, it was more of what a refugee crisis might look like, with millions of people flooding into communities that have just tens or maybe a couple hundred thousand people, that were surging to 1 to 2 million people in a community. Pretty amazing. So I was not directly impacted by it, but well, actually, that's not true. I was going to rent a car. Car rentals, no go. Nothing in the Spokane, North Idaho area. Nothing for as far as, matter of fact, Seattle was even out of car rentals when I was checking out with the last couple of days. But you don't want to, looking into car rentals just within a couple of days of something like that. But quite a bit further out, I was looking, in the heart of the American Redoubt, gone. 2 weeks out, they were completely sold out of car rentals. Interesting. And hotel rooms have been booked, for months prior to the eclipse. Well, what we did experience, and of course, this was just basically our reaction to some of the things that the government at the state and county levels were doing, mobilizing National Guards, blocking off highways, and adding, extra measures. Kind of interesting. Lots of firefighting resources getting, put in place. We're told to expect disruptions in cell service and gas shortages and so on. So we thought, if this is true, what some of these state and local governments are warning and trying to prepare for, what if it's true? What if that did happen? What would that look like? And could this be an opportunity to get a little bit of a glimpse into what a collapse might look like? Well, it's actually more of a glimpse into what a refugee crisis might look like. Except for what we've had going on in the last 48 hours in Texas. Because the difference there is the eclipse was a event where everybody was festive and giddy and everyone's getting along and stress isn't really high and people are willing to put up with lines and put up with each other. But it was still interesting. What we did see is long lines of traffic for hours and hours, even in rural areas, bumper to bumper traffic, stop and go, and not even around any large metropolitan areas. Cell service was disrupted, and in some places for short periods of time, but it was slow data. It could hardly even function on it because so many people are using it. There were some places in Oregon where cell service was disrupted. And of course, it came back online fairly quickly. A couple of small towns in Washington along the Oregon border did run out of fuel, and that was confirmed. And we got to, you know, I got to listen in on some of the local Aries Races coverage. They were doing a really good job. Some volunteers that were set up at stations along this highway where this massive amount of traffic was coming in. They're expecting potential, cell phone disruptions. And if there's an accident or a medical emergency, they'd be able to assist. So that was really good to see or hear those guys out there. And their services were not really needed. They had a slowdown on cell services, but nothing was disrupted in the area that I was at. And of course, I had a private residence that I was able to stay at. Thank you very much for your hospitality, by the way. But so the hotel issue was not an issue. But there's something a little bit different going on straight to the south of the American Redoubt in Texas. There is a massive storm, and they're saying this is the perfect conditions to make Harvey the strongest hurricane to hit the U.S. in 12 years. Texas residents are told to get out of there. They were told to get out of Dodge before the expected 130 mile an hour winds and rain cause alligator infested floods. That's just great because you're up to your neck in flood water and then you throw some alligators in there to boot. So Texas has been bracing itself for what they're calling the storm of the decade. And it is fully hitting right now. And the National Weather Service said Friday morning that preparations should be rushed to completion, adding that conditions are expected to deteriorate throughout the day. And that was yesterday, Friday. What do we got here? I want to look at some of this stuff. Gas prices spiked immediately in anticipation of gas shortages. So thank you very much. And there are three, petroleum plants that were shut down, and people are starting to run out of everything. Of course, we've seen this over and over. Why people do not learn is beyond me. 30 inches of rain they're expecting in some places across the state. It will be the first hurricane to hit the state of Texas since 2008, when Hurricane Category 2, Hurricane Ike, struck. So they're saying this is going to be, there's going to be places that will be uninhabitable for months, potentially. Now, we've got a lot of resources in place. Now, what we know about the federal government and their response is it is always very large and cumbersome and expensive and inadequate. So this really is incumbent on the individual citizen to be self-reliant. We're strong advocates of self-reliance. So now we have customers' reports and video of customers fighting over the last bottled water on the shelf. And the other shelves are completely empty. How many times have we seen this? Over and over. We talked in the last couple of weeks about preparing for war as North Korea and the United States have been nose to nose with now the nuclear capable and ICBM launch capable North Korea. That's not over with. That is still on. It is still very tense. So fortunately, North Korea backed down. They blinked. We reported that last week. So now we're kind of in a holding pattern. But that is a very volatile situation. We need to be prepared for war. And how do you do that? Well, you can just simply start by preparing for any disaster. And there's some things that you should do so you're not finding yourself with somebody trying to wrestle the last case of bottled water out of your arms, and you're fighting with somebody in the store in front of your children, and the chaos, you want to stay away from it. You plan ahead. You just plan ahead. Now, I'm going to give you some resources here because there is the Cascadia Subduction Zone earthquake, 9.0 plus, that it could happen at any time. It could be 5 years from now. It could be 5 days from now or 5 minutes. It could be 20 years from now, but scientists are saying it's coming. So be prepared now. The resources are abundant. Now, right now, we got Ameron operators monitoring on the HF bands. If you guys want to tune in, 3818, 3.818. Lower sideband. That's the Midwest Patriot Net, consisting of mostly Ameron operators that are monitoring that. And also, write this down, 14.300, also called the 14300 net. And that is the Maritime Mobile Service Networks. People are always on there. It's really designed to support ocean-going, private people sailing out on the open waters. And it is a lifeline for them on HF. And so they are on the air right now. You can learn more by going to 14300.net, 14300.net. They got a lot of information about the hurricane. But there's actually one that's a little bit better than that. And that is HWN, Hurricane Watch Network, or Hurricane Watch Net. That's at hwn.org. And it is active. It's been active for the last couple of days. And here are the frequencies for those. 14.325. That's the 20-meter band. 14.325. And for the 40-meter band, 7.268. 7.268. And that is specifically designed to track hurricane damage and people that need assistance calling from within a hurricane. So we're monitoring that. We're not activating the Ameron nets this time. We're monitoring the nets that are already in place. And we will continue to monitor that situation. But there are some resources that you guys need to have in your hand to avoid being one of those people that somebody's getting clobbered for the case of bottled water in your hands. You should already have that stuff. And what's also interesting to note is while crowds are fighting over bottled water, there are water filtration, water purification sitting on the shelf that's hardly getting noticed. You can produce 100 of those cases of bottled water worth of water with a water filtration system. But what you need to do is get it before the emergency strikes. Now, this is a little bit different too, because you can fill up a U-Haul truck full of prepping stuff and fill up your house. But this is a different situation here with the hurricane, because this is what we call a bug out situation. These are bug out conditions where you can't stay home with that pile of stuff in your garage because it's more than you can take. So for situations like this, you need to definitely incorporate portability into your emergency plan for planning for a disaster. There are a couple of, the quick resources that I could point you to right now. Go to your internet search engine, and hopefully you're using DuckDuckGo and not Google. Use DuckDuckGo because it doesn't track your IP address and it doesn't track your search, the things that you're searching for. DuckDuckGo should be your primary search engine, in my opinion. And by the way, it does use Google and it uses all these other search engines. It combines them all. But when you use DuckDuckGo, it just obscures your IP address and it doesn't track your search history. So it's kind of a buffer, a firewall between you and Google. All right. So what you need to do is in your internet search box, there are two things you could type in One, actually just type in the top 100 items to disappear first. Top one items to disappear first. You could put comma disaster, but it won't matter. It's still going to give you most of the same results regardless of how you do it. And you'll also see lists of 50 things to disappear during an emergency. So several of these preparedness websites have circulated, you know, the same article throughout several blogs, and some of them have their own unique lists. And I recommend going to several blogs and comparing their lists, because a lot of them have a lot of overlap and a lot of them have things that the others didn't have. But in this situation, you should already have the top 100 items that disappear first. Now, bottled water is a big one. Food, it's wiped out off the shelves, and batteries, and fuel, gasoline, or diesel, whatever you have. But let's go down the list, and I'll read some of these to you guys. Let's go down the top 10. The top 10 on this top 100 items list to disappear first. Generators is number one. So you should already have a generator. You should be testing it and using it regularly to keep everything working fine. Number two, water filters and purifiers. Big time. You notice it didn't say bottled water. Bottled water will go first. You should already have a good, high-quality water filter and purifier. The flooding that's expected, 30 inches of rain, that's going to create a lot of flooding, and it is going to contaminate the normal drinking water system in almost all of those cases. I mean, it mixes raw sewage with drinking water and everything's a mess. And you got water all around you, but you can't drink it. Number three, portable toilets. Number four, seasoned firewood. Number five, lamp oil, including wicks and, you know, lanterns. Camp stove fuel. Guns and ammunition, pepper spray, that kind of thing, self-defense, those go fast. Hand can openers, rice and beans, wheat, you know, your staples, honey, syrups, white and brown sugar. So those are the top 10. This is just to give you an example of one of the lists that we have here in the Schmidt household. And then you want to add your own things to those as well that you don't see on the list. Okay, so hopefully that helps you guys out a little bit there. That'll give you some resources. I want to move on to talk about something else. Last week, there was an article at Redoubt News talking about the refugee resettlement in Sandpoint. So this meeting, the folks that were making the presentation, they called it a training session to train people on how to accept refugees in their community. There were some things that we pointed out last week that were completely patently false, if not outright lies, such as there's no intent to bring refugees here, such as two-thirds of those that are being relocated are Christian, and the fact that there's no plans to bring refugees here, which was actually countered by somebody saying after the meeting was over, one of the gentlemen said, "We're not asking you. You don't have a choice. It's going to happen." This is after the official meeting. The official information given to the people was that, no, this is just, there's no plans to bring refugees here. We're just here to give you a training session on how to bring refugees into your community. Even though there's no refugees coming to your community, but we're going to give this training session anyway. And guess what else? We're going to give you scriptures to convince you that this is the Christian thing to do. Well, how can you counter that? You're supposed to love everyone, right? Actually, let's talk about some of these scriptures. Exodus 23:9 says, "You shall not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt." Darn, don't oppress. Okay, fine. Well, Exodus 22:21, "You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 10:19 says, "Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt." Leviticus 19:34 says, "You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you. Treat him like one of your own. And you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Good one. Leviticus 24:22, "You shall have the same rule for the sojourner and for the native, for I am the Lord your God." Don't have two different sets of laws for one. And actually, that's a pretty good one for dealing with Sharia law. You have the same rule for the sojourner and for you, the natives. You don't have two different sets of laws. One law applies to all of you. Leviticus 23:22, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather all the gleanings after you harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and the sojourner. I am the Lord your God." And then finally, one last one. Jeremiah 22:3 says, "Thus says the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness and deliver the plunderer out of the hands of the oppressor." I love that one. De oppresso liber. Liberate the oppressed. "Do no wrong and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow, nor shed innocent blood in its place." Now, in episode 1708, I covered this, but this is worthy of repeating, because we are actually being deceived by those who are coming into our communities telling us this is the Christian and biblical thing to do, and they're using scripture to convince us to accept an invasion. These are, I believe, many of them well-intentioned but deceived believers. I also believe, based on strong documented evidence, that many of them are profiting from the relocation of refugees into rural areas, or in all kinds of areas, including rural areas. And so I question the motives of some of them. Obviously, I think that they're using scripture in a very manipulative way. So I want to take you back to a listener letter that was sent to me that I went over in episode 1708. And he was responding to the previous episode before that, which was 1707, where I was defining the sojourner and the stranger and what that means, not to oppress the sojourner. Well, this was very, very informative, and I was very grateful for him sending this in. And I've done some research since then, and it's very enlightening. So let me read this to you. He writes, "We study the Old and the New Testament and Hebrew. With all that said, I wanted to respond to your show, Do Not Oppress the Sojourner. This is not a criticism." And I didn't take it that way. Actually, he was, I felt like it was reinforcing what I was saying, but he took it a step further and added some clarification, because I do not study Hebrew. I do not know Hebrew. And so this was very interesting to me. He said, "Your scripture references use the word sojourner or stranger or foreigner. In Hebrew, the word used in the scriptures you quoted is very specific. The word is transliterated as ger, like G-E-R, ger. Kind of sounds like gear. This word gir in Hebrew has a very specific meaning. It is a non-Jew who has lift up his head to the God of the tribes of Israel." You guys catching this? This is important, Christians, because you're being lied to and deceived when those people come into your community and they are using scripture to manipulate you. So inform yourselves on this. I will read on. "In today's Judaism, there are three gir. The one listed above, gir tov shav, partial conversion, and gir tzaddik, I believe. That's a fully converted word. So when the tribes left Egypt, a mixed multitude went with them. The mixed multitude had come to a full realization that Yahweh is the one true God and had joined themselves to the tribes. God made laws to protect those that were not of the tribes. They were to be treated as brothers. The tribes were supposed to go to the nations, Goyim, and be a light unto them. Teach them about the one true God and to make them gear. Foreigners who had converted over and accepted the one true God, and to bring them into the family and the tribes. Now, the word for foreigner is Nokri. This is a person who does not revere the God of the tribes of Israel, even hostile toward him and his people. Most of these Muslim sojourners that are coming to the USA are Nokri. They do not revere the God of the Jews and Christians, and they do not want to assimilate. So remember this. When you're using the scripture and you go back to the Hebrew, the way the word was used is very clear. They are invaders. They are on a cultural jihad, which is their doctrine. And we've talked about that many times in the past. Anyway, I want to thank our sponsor, Riverfront Suites, from beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho. Right on the river, the St. Joe. They've got 7 fully furnished suites right there on the river, 50 yards from the dock. And it's a nice little place. If you need a place just to get away for the weekend, or if you need a place to hang out while you're looking for property and trying to get strategically relocated to the American Redoubt, go ahead and check them out at riverfrontsuites.com. Anyway, I want to go back to these resources really quickly and encourage you to just go do an internet search. Don't find yourself caught in a crowd. Look for those top 100 things to disappear first in a disaster and get yourself ahead of the crowd. Looking out for you. All right, this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. You guys have a blessed weekend. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too.